When I was in New York at a mission, there is a bunch of people from the street that went to that church, I think every day, multiple times a day. And the person who was in charge would often say, apparently, because this is something that seemed very, very understood, he would say, God is good, and they would say, all the time. He'd say, all the time, and they say, God is good. And he said, let's give God a hand, right? And that was their way of expressing the goodness of God. That's not our culture. I won't have you do that. But I just want to think about that tonight. This is our preparation sermon for getting ready to have communion. And so I would kind of roughly divide people getting ready for communion to two camps. One is somebody who is living in sin, they know they're living in sin, and they need a fiery sermon to wake them out of that. They need a hellfire and brimstone message to get them shook loose and to get them to stop sinning, okay? And then there is maybe another group who is maybe struggles with assurance or wonders about where they are with God, and it's hard for them to feel the goodness of God or that they're right with God. And I think that I would fall into the latter category, or have for a long time in my life. And so if you need a hellfire and brimstone message tonight, you're going to have to listen to a tape or a CD. I don't got that for you. And there's plenty of stuff online, okay? Maybe Paul Washer would be a good one to listen to, okay? He's a good one for that. But if you are maybe feeling apprehensive tonight about having communion and you're not sure where you fit or how you feel in being right with God, then I'm going to try tonight to talk about that. And this does come out of my own struggles. Probably a lot of you see me as a pretty charismatic or outgoing person around people, and I am. And I enjoy people and things. But I have really wrestled sometimes, or there's a kind of a pit of despair or of shame that it's easy to slide down into. And when I find myself circling the drain, as it were, you know, ready to go down into this, I'm not sure how I feel, and I start feeling scared, and it's just not feeling good. I have some things that I think about that help me to pull out of that and help me to think, no, that I think I'm on the wrong track here. I don't think this is right. There are times in our life when we do need to repent, and we do need to come to God, and we need to say, God, I was wrong, and I want to do much better. And then there are other times when we need to say, God, you are good, and you love us so much, and I don't think I've been living there. I don't think I felt that. And so I want to think about that. When I was young, I remember asking my mother, who goes to heaven? Well, Christians go to heaven. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? Like, what happens to me as a child? And she said, well, you're not a Christian yet. Well, that's not good, you know. Oh, boy. But see, you're still safe. God didn't call you to be a Christian yet. He didn't knock on your door yet. So you're still safe, all right? So as soon as he does knock, then you say yes. She says, and I remember when I was convicted and I became a Christian. Well, you can believe I was kind of bug-eyed about if God was knocking at my door. I mean, I remember being very upset, very scared I would miss that call, right? And that's not how it works, by the way, okay? If God is knocking at your door, you say yes, but you're going to know, okay? You're going to know if you're wrong and if you're not doing right. So as children, we can assure their children that they are loved, that they are lambs in the flock of God. We don't have to worry about that. But as I was growing older, I was aware that something had not yet happened to me that I was listening for. And my parents didn't make a lot of bones about us sleeping in church when we were young. So I remember being probably too old and sleeping. Probably 10 or 11, and sleeping through a church service and kind of waking up at the end and like, what is going on? Like, something's happening here. I'm not sure what's happening. And it was an invitation, all right? It was an invitation to come forward and become a Christian. And I just didn't know. I just remember the seriousness of the moment. I remember just sitting in the back, way in the back, and just sensing like something's going on here. I don't know what it is. And then I went and hung out with my buddies in the back, and the one friend was saying, yeah, I probably would have gone up tonight, but I did when I was at Boys, or I was at the camp. It wasn't Arrows and Rubies back then. It was all together, and they had an evangelist that would come and speak, and he had gone forward in that camp meeting. And so he said, well, I didn't go that time, tonight, because I went then. And I thought, oh, this is for us. This is for our age. Like, And then I felt a stirring of like, well, maybe God's calling me now. And so that night, I remember leaving the parking lot and being like, I think God is calling me. And I talked to my dad the next morning, and we prayed, so I became a Christian. And then I went forward the next night to show people that I had accepted Jesus, to make a public affirmation to that. But then, I mean, that was scary to come forward. And then that's when revival meetings really began to have a lot of meaning to me. Like, should I go forward this time, or am I really right with God? And probably went forward too many times, you know, to show that I really cared about what was going on. And that began my experience with trying to find the voice of God in my life and feeling not sure if I'm in or out. And I will say this too, that I didn't feel what I expected to feel from all the stories I had heard over the years about how becoming a Christian. And the stories I had read, it wasn't the same. I was kind of missing that. And my experience has been far more gradual, and following God and repenting and moving towards God in small steps, not in one giant sort of way. And I'm not a type A personality very much. So that's not typically how God would work through my life. So not only did I maybe have a rough start in my Christian experience, but then also the way we're raised and maybe even some family-based traits come through in how we relate to God. I would have inherited some ideas or been taught some ideas about God or who I was that made it tough for me to hear that God loves me. The first verse I ever heard or that I remember was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was one of the first verses I ever remember. But it was just a verse. It didn't actually mean that God loved me, you know. It didn't mean that. And as I got older and went through some very tough experiences, I began to wonder if God really did love me. Does he actually love me? And I tried to follow him with all my heart, and yet nothing's working out for me. Although that didn't necessarily play into my feeling of whether I was saved or not. So I would like to think a little bit about some of the things that make us wonder if we're saved. And typically it's a person, again, who is fairly sensitive, as I am, and who somebody who does things right or tries to do them right. I remember one thing I suffered tremendous shame from. We were playing, our school was playing football against Faith Mennonite High School. Maranatha played Faith Mennonite High School for 4 years in football, and I was there every single one of those, and they never played after we graduated. We beat them the last year, so anyhow. We were playing, and we were frustrated, okay, because our team was supposed to be really good, and their team was beating us. And I was a ninth grader. I was really frustrated too, and it wasn't going well. And somebody ended up, a piece of clothes got ripped, and I was like, "That's it, get him off," you know. And one of the person, I'm loosely paraphrasing what I said, anyhow. And one of the people looked over at me. One of our older people, was a long chaperone, said, "Hey, that's enough." And I suddenly felt shame. Like, oh my goodness, I just yelled something that was very inappropriate. And that wasn't me. That wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be that kind of guy. That shame rode with me for years. I could think back to that situation, instantly feel tremendous, tremendous shame. I just felt horrible about that. Anyhow, so if you feel like there's things that really got you down, I understand that. So what are things that make us distrust the love of God? And I have in my notes, I have what makes us distrust the like of God toward us. Does God like you? Does he like us? I remember my uncle asking that question. He often asked a lot of questions that weren't really that helpful, but this one really stuck to me. He said, and does God actually like us? I mean, I know he loves us, you know, he has to love us, but does he like us? And it's kind of, most people don't ask that question, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, that's one thing I kind of wrestle with. Does God like us? And the answer is yes. Of course he does. He likes us, all right? The creator of the universe who created the word like and the emotion of like, he likes us, all right? And we can look at all kinds of people who have been through really tough situations and were shamed and were living lives of shame. And when they came to Jesus, Jesus took time to talk to them and remember them. The woman on the well, classic example. Another one is a thief on the cross, you know? Jesus did not take that thief's cross place on the cross. That thief was on the cross for a good reason, and he knew it. We don't know what he did, but when he was on the cross, he felt tremendous shame for what he had done. And yet, Jesus said, yes, you're going to be with me in paradise today, all right? Jesus and God like us. They love us. We are worth coming for. Let's go to Luke 12:32. Jesus is giving a wide ranging list of things. It's kind of the Sermon on the Mount style thing here. But in the middle, he takes a break and says something very interesting. And as I was thinking about this idea, does God love us? And the song tonight was, you know, angels breathe songs of whispers of love, you know, to me. I'm like, wow, what a great song. Let's go to verse 30, Luke 12:30. For all these things do the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye rather the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he's talking about, like, don't worry, God will take care of you. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you feel like a little flock sometimes? Do you feel like when you're reading the Bible, or when it's like, you just don't know. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants us to be in all the way, to feel the love he has towards us, to go all the way, to be bathed and immersed in that love. I think one of the things that makes me back away from that is I'm afraid that if I feel God's love too much, I'll become a bad person. I'll start doing things that aren't good because I'll be so free that I can just do whatever I want. And that's not, I don't think that's fair. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians and verse 1. So can somebody tell me what happened when Paul went to Ephesus? What kind of city was Ephesus? What were the people like? What was one thing they were really into? One bad thing they were really into? Does anybody remember? What's that? Diana. Idol worship, but I was thinking something else significant. Witchcraft. And when they came together and they really followed Jesus, these people took their shameful books and instead of selling them and giving the money to the poor, they burned them in this huge pile, and it was a tremendous sum of money, okay? These were people that were witches, okay? They had been witches and bad people before they became Christians. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. They knew about that. They were those people, okay? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He likes us, guys. Okay? This is actually for real. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So, we don't necessarily always experience all the wonderful blessings of God, okay? Sometimes there are really tough trials that we go through. Jesus himself, the Son of God, the beloved Son of God, suffered agony on the cross. We are not going to always have a great time here on this earth. There's no question about that. But God's love for us never fails. And when we get to heaven, we are going to see what it's like, what he has in store for us. We are not done yet. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Let's go to that. And I'm almost done here. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. So Paul is worried about the Ephesians. He's worried about them, that they are going to get... And it was a fair problem because he could kind of see a tendency that they had. And Jesus talks about this in Revelations as well, that they were missing their first love. And Paul's worried about that, okay? He's worried about that. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? We know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, as a felt reality, sometimes we don't always know the love of God. We don't have to feel it. We don't see it in evidence in our lives. And sometimes we do struggle with fear and doubt. And God is not waiting for us to figure all these things out before we come to him. Okay? He longs to help us through those struggles and through those turmoils to him. And it is fair to reach out to your brothers and sisters to ask for help in prayer. And it's also fair to ask God, God, here's how I feel. The Bible says you're not like this, but I don't feel it. What's going on? What's different? What's wrong? And God is faithful to show us what needs to change. Maybe we just need to trust or to relax, or there's a variety of different things. There's a lot of ways to go wrong. But God is happy to help us, and we do not have to struggle with this feeling and this sense of, does God like me? Does God love me? For ourselves. We are getting ready for communion, and in that, God has shown his love toward us. He has sent his own Son to be the Savior of the world, and we are in the world, folks. He sent his Son for us. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to reflect on the love of God, on your love for us. May we also not just hoard that love, but be willing to show it in any way we can to our neighbors, to those who are outside the church, and especially to those who are inside the church. I pray that we would be careful and kind towards each other, as maybe some people wrestle more with this concept than others. May we just get on our knees and pray. And Lord, may we each find your great love to be burning in our hearts and to know that peace and that love of God which passes knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.